today. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Good morning, hey. Steve.
Donna.
Hey, man.
Who's my booba bear on a Wednesday? Brother Rob, filling in again. Brother Rob, thank you for being here, pulling yet another double duty. It's a welfare check. How are you?
It's good to be here. Doing all right.
Now, Rob, did you do the morning show as well, produce?
Oh, yeah. I've been here since about 4:15.
Oh. What's that like? Remind me, I haven't filled in. It's been years since I filled in on the morning show, and I would never get in at 4:15 if that was the case. What is the building like at 4:15 in the morning?
It's pretty quiet. Not a lot of activity.
Okay.
Got the whole place to myself just about.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you take liberties with having the whole place to yourself? Do you
take a walk down the hall, which is about the length of a city block.
Yeah, it's very long. You know, Rob, what's the thing there? We have these very long halls in Hubbard Broadcasting, very, very long. So the why that's awkward is people don't like crossing each other in any hall anyway. They don't want to do the chit-chat. They're like, when are we looking at each other? And if you look at each other far down the hall, you have to maintain eye contact. And in these long halls, it's awkward on steroids.
Yeah, and, you know, got the mask thing going on and the social distance thing going on.
I don't know if you guys notice this, but there is one person that we work with. Mm. And whenever we walk, whenever you're about to cross paths, she turns and faces the wall like she's in the Blair Witch Project.
Listen, Donna, some people.
It's Sharon, okay?
Donna,
Sharon.
Sharon just wants to be safe. She's just taking every necessary precaution. Abundance of caution.
I'm like, I'm wearing a mask. You're wearing a mask. I'm not going to come up to you and like cough in your face.
You know, any chance it could just be her feelings toward you, Donna?
Oh,
I think I saw her do that pre-pandemic. Back when life was good last summer, Donna came and then she just like plastered herself to the wall.
Donna's just finally noticing, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Exactly right.
You're right.
You know what? I do remember early in the pandemic. Gosh, what a bizarre time this is. But I remember very early. It was March. And we were walking to the cafeteria after the show. And I'm walking there with Ryan. We get to a corner. And there, I kid you not, is a woman who, imagine someone almost putting their hands on one corner and then pulling their head around to see if anyone is around the corner. And I thought, is this what we're doing now? Are you looking as though like you're trying to rob a bank and you're looking to see, is the coast clear?
I think what it is there's a lot of collisions. So it's a blind, you know, it's a blind spot.
Yeah, we're going to need our facilities guy, Tom Raykamp. He's got to put up some of those mirrors for like blind turns.
Totally.
Oh, Lord. What is going on? What is going on here?
I don't know. The struggle is real these days. It's a very stressful time.
We got this.
You just chill out.
Hey, why don't you chill out and stop trying to get me to tell you what the surprise present that I have for you is.
Okay, so I don't understand why you're giving me a present, but it's great because my birthday's coming up in 9 days. Thank you for asking.
Oh, maybe I should just hold off till then.
Oh, you can.
That's what I should do.
I mean, I haven't seen you. It's been, what, months?
Well, months? The last time that I was in the building for Twin Cities Live was June 23rd. That would have been the last time that I would have had a chance of seeing you. No, I've been back in the building. I'm doing Twin Cities Live in the studio now. But I had been doing radio 5 days a week from home for, I think, a couple of weeks before that. I probably haven't seen you since early June.
Yes,
it's been pretty refreshing. Or what would you, how would you describe it? How would you describe it? We'll do the same word.
You know, a little lonely.
Oh, T-Bone.
I know.
Well, listen, I got you the present. For those who don't know, I had someone reached out to me on Instagram and sent me a DM and said, hey, this reminded me of you and Donna, and then sent me a picture of something. And then in reality, it really just reminded her, I think, more of Donna than of me. And I was like, that's great. And then I looked it up.
Look it up! Look it up, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, great. So I bought it for Donna. I reached out to the person on Instagram and I said, hey, this is, I'm not going to try to make this like, hey, I was thinking of you and thought this would be great. I will give you credit. I do have to look up that person's name. But anyway, Instagram user, you know who you are. So Instagram user prompted me to do this. And then I was like, oh, great. So I got it. And I think it's in the mailbox. I haven't even opened the box yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you kind of owe it to our listeners to maybe post a picture of it.
How can we do a safe drop? You know what I should do?
I'll meet you halfway.
I should mail it to you.
I thought of that. That was the first thing I thought of.
And then
you don't know how to go to the post office.
Are there still brick and mortar post offices? Donna's like, she's the one who gets her undies in a bunch when the stamp prices go up, and she gets on the forums, and it's like, can you believe? That's why I loaded up on forever stamps. That's what my mom always says. She's like, anytime. She always loves, if the price of stamps go up, anyone like my mother who owns forever stamps, they make it their point in life that day to let you know, well, it didn't affect me. I got forever stamps. And it's like a penny. It's a penny or two pennies. Nate Bergazzi does a great bit on stamp people. He says, you know, you only find out how much stamps cost from old people. This is Nate Bergazzi. Don't sue me here. But he said, and then when the price of stamps go up, they are so upset at it. And you think, like, what is, are they $100 now per stamp? And no, it's 38 cents. Okay.
Oh, from no, 30 I think it's 42. Cents. I think it's 42 cents.
When I was a kid, no, it was only 32.
Well, you're not a kid anymore. Why would you think it was only, like, what?
Who's the ageist now? Wow, there goes my childhood, everybody. No. Unbelievable.
Can somebody look up the price of
stamps? It's 55 cents.
No!
If you bought a forever stamp, and they've gone up how many times since they first introduced the forever stamp?
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, a pack of cigs is probably $15 now when you could have gotten a whole carton for $5 back in the day.
Okay, kids, if you're going to take any of Aunt Donna's advice this morning, just load up on forever stamps, not Marlboro Reds. Donna. By the way, speaking of things that you have bought, our Facebook question today has to do with that. What's the most useless thing you've ever purchased? We've tried to do a question of some iteration like this on a Twin Cities Live the last couple of days. Haven't gotten to it on the show, and I thought, well, let's just twist it up a little bit and go in this direction. The
most great. Useless thing you purchased. You're giving us your leftovers.
No, inspired by.
Radio gets TV leftovers.
Donna! Actually, the question we asked on our Facebook page on Twin Cities Live a few days ago, what's something you have purchased but never used? Like, it's still in the box.
Oh, good. I've got something.
I have pairs of pants up here. But that's not our Facebook question today, Donna. Because why? It's like sister wives. I've got multiple of you. And I have to try to keep both sides happy. And God knows you're always complaining. Respectfully.
I gotta go.
What's the most useless thing you've ever purchased? That's our Facebook question today. When we return, speaking of people who really get caught up in stamps and their prices, I've got an interesting fact about pigeons. Because, you know, those are probably pigeon people, right? Sitting on the bench. Anybody passes by on rollerblades and they're like, did you hear the price of stamps?
Do you know what our demographic is?
Is it stamp collectors? If so,
And bird watchers.
Bird watchers. I love bird watching. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you what I did last night, too, regarding watching the sky. We'll get into that.
Can't wait.
Fun pigeon fact. When we return, it's Don and Steve on My Talk.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1.
Blah, blah, blue, blue, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, Donna. Sorry. Donna, why?
Steve,
don't be so tight.
I'm just going to have Rob hit this button right now.
Okay.
Things that make you go home.
It's the extended cut, Donna. Don't hate on it. It's throwback. It's extended. Okay?
It's extended. I think it's cut. The original song, actually.
It is.
Okay.
That's how we used to do it. That's how we used to do it. Now this about pigeons. Donna, listen up.
Okay.
Pigeons have an incredible ability to remember human faces.
In fact, they say
that if you chase or feed a pigeon even one time, it will remember you in the future. So whether you've done it ill or well, it's going to remember you.
You know who else does?
Who?
Horses.
horses.
Horses. Yeah, I think that's true. Because there, remember we had a story a couple of years ago about an actor who worked on a film with this horse and then saw the horse like 5 years later, maybe seven, and the horse remembered him.
Wow.
Look it up, yeah? And by the way, pigeons mate for life. Isn't that beautiful?
Do they really? How does, you know, listen.
I know things.
Okay. You know that I always have a little bit of suspicion on animal studies, on things that we claim to know about animals. So let me just say this. You got pigeons. Let's imagine, I don't know, Central Park.
Okay.
Let's imagine the scene in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, when the lady on the bench has all the pigeons around her and feeds them a lot. You're telling me that there's one pigeon in there that's like, Joan, and knows the other pigeon? I don't know. Yeah. They look
pretty alike, Steve.
Donna.
I know, but so do penguins, and they're lifers, too.
Well, no. Didn't you tell me they're not lifers? I had this beautiful story about March of the Penguins, and then you were like, yeah, they're like philandering, adulterous.
Yeah, they are. You're right. However, they know the one that's got the egg, right? They know the one that's preggers.
I know. Listen,
and there's millions of them.
I don't know. Sometimes I believe things, sometimes I don't. I'm just saying, yeah, I'll say it. All pigeons look alike. What? I'll see you in court. This might be surprising to you. Will you find it valuable? Likely no. The first time that a computer successfully ran a piece of software was in what year? Guess, Donna.
1941. 1948.
A computer in England ran a program that was basically just a calculator, but still it was a computer running a program. In 48, before, leave it to Beaver. That's something, huh?
That is something. I mean, I think this has been in the works for a very long time.
What, clearly. Computers?
Yeah.
I think
remember
you're right.
How big they were? Well, you didn't work in radio,
no,
but my gosh, the size of go and take a look in one of the rooms down the hall from, well, you're not at work, but
the room
it's
down
just
the
amazing.
Hall is like my toilet.
Okay, not that hall. Anyway, never mind. I'll take a picture sometime and show it to everybody.
I think so far this is going moderately well. I have a fact about Nokia. Everybody knows Nokia, right? What does Nokia make?
Phones.
Maybe they do some stuff with cameras. Well, when Nokia was founded in Finland in 1865, it made toilet paper and other paper products, and they didn't actually get into communications until 100 years later.
Wow.
They did toilet paper for the first century, and we're like, you know what, should we switch? Does anyone think? What are you thinking? Soap? Should we do soap? I'm thinking communications.
You got to branch out.
I'm going to ask you to, I want you to overreact to this next fact that I have to compensate for what I would describe emotionally as underreactions to this point. Okay?
Okay.
You understand the rules now?
I understand.
In 1990, Crayola's senior crayon maker retired after 37 years and revealed he was actually colorblind.
Shut your face.
I know. Right?
And I right. Wow, that's interesting. How does that work?
I don't know. Color blindness is kind of weird.
I have a friend who's colorblind.
Really?
I should talk to him about that. We should interview a colorblind person. If you're colorblind, will you call us? Thank you.
Yeah, I guess. They wouldn't have any problem dialing in.
It's just certain colors, right?
Well, when you're a kid and you hear colorblind, what I first thought was, oh my gosh, that means that you see in black and white. You know what they say?
Yeah,
that's what they
say.
They say dogs are colorblind. How in the heck do we know that?
All right, Steve, with
how
the
do
animals.
How do we know it?
I don't know how we know, but sometimes you have to just take a leap of faith and believe.
By the way, regarding animals, coming up at 11:30, I've got a study that you're not going to like about dogs. So you just buckle your chin strap.
How dare you?
11:15 we'll do a study. And it's not going to be a good one, but listen, I have to deliver the news as it comes to me. You know what I mean?
Deep tease.
for bad dog news. Arnold Schwarzenegger got paid $75,000 for his role in Terminator.
Well, then he was overpaid.
Donna! $75,000 he got for Terminator. For Terminator 2, 7 years later, he got a pay raise to $15 million.
Whoa.
And now, since we have a little, about a minute, Donna will spell Schwarzenegger.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go with an S-C-H-A-W, S-C-H-W-A, Schwartz. So S-C-H-W-A-R-Z-E-N-E-G-G-E-R.
Wow. Donna.
Yeah.
You got it right.
I didn't even ask for the country of origin.
Country of origin, which would be
Austria.
We're really proud of you, Donna. Looks like somebody's going to be updating her LinkedIn this afternoon. And then they'll ask me to endorse your new skill. Boy, LinkedIn, what a racket.
I have a profile, but I must have created it, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
We only ever use it when we're out of work.
Correct. I don't even use it then. I just start networking.
Yeah, texting friends. Come on, man.
Totally. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out if Steve actually ever finished the Peanut Butter Falcon as assigned. And I'll tell you about a documentary that I watched that I really enjoyed and recommend coming up next. And now we find out whether or not Steve Patterson completed his assignment of watching a very simple movie, very...
not long.
Length appropriate. Called The Peanut Butter Falcon. Did you finish it?
Did not finish it. But, teacher, hang on, please, before you issue me a demerit, I am looking forward to finishing it in due time. That I can tell you for sure. It's going to be great when I finish it.
What are you doing? Why are you so busy? What's taking up your time?
Let's see. Last night I got home. I made dinner. My wife took the kids school shopping. I then
perfect opportunity.
Dev woke up. Now I'm playing with Dev, having a good time. By the way, a tutorial video, which will be on our Facebook page, how to talk to a baby. I teach people how to talk to a baby. And then the kids came home. They showed me all of their school stuff. And then they wanted to put a show on before they went to bed. I mean, that you asked, right? What, did you think I was sitting there just taking in the view?
Okay. By the way, Shia LaBeouf, who is in the Peanut Butter, that's a hard word to say, Peanut Butter Falcon, and does a great job. If you would like to see him get his COVID test, it's very lovely. I linked it up on the Donna and Steve show page at mytalk1071.com.
Why are you linking that up? What do you mean it's lovely? They put something up your nose.
I know. That's not lovely. It's just the way he treats people is very sweet.
He'd be an interesting guy to have lunch with.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I bet he strikes me as an interesting conversationalist. I wonder, my fear would be we might go off the deep end and find ourselves in some choppy waters at some point.
Yeah, he seems like he's real heady. You know?
Yes.
Like one of those people who just, you know, had a lot of psychoanalysis.
Mm-hmm.
And just likes to go deep.
Which can be good.
I don't mind that. It can be good.
It can be good. In appropriate doses.
Right.
Could he just shoot the breeze with you, though? That's the question.
I think he could. You should watch that video. It's very sweet.
I've gotten a COVID test. And I watched a video of someone get a COVID test before I got a COVID test just to like go eyes wide open. What am I getting myself into here? I do not like watching someone get something put up their nose. It's not as, in the feeling, the actual process of getting a test is not as bad as it looks. But watching the video and something go in someone's nose, it gives me the eebie-jeebies.
Because it goes pretty far up, right?
It does. It goes up. And a great way to describe it is that it feels like it's the same sensation as when you get water up your nose, like when you're in a pool, and you know that like kind of burning sensation.
Yep.
That's what it feels like. But good, it goes, yeah, about to your brain, just about to your brain.
Okay, good to know.
Yes.
And you get to pick which side you want done, right?
I was not given that choice.
Oh, well, that's because you're not Shia LaBeouf.
They said, what nostril do you want?
Yes.
Must be nice to be a celebrity and get COVID tested. They just picked any nostril they wanted.
They did. Oh, that's too bad. I'm going to go right if I have to do it.
Oh, really? Why the right? Yeah. Just because you're right-hand dominant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, we digress. Steve did not do his assignment. You're in timeout.
Well done.
A few days ago, I watched a documentary on Jane Fonda called Jane Fonda in Five Acts.
Hmm.
And it was very enjoyable, I have to say. Do you know a lot about Jane Fonda?
You know, I know workout videos of Jane Fonda. Mm-hmm. I know on Golden Pond that she was in with her father, her late father.
Yes.
And I know, she was in The Newsroom. Great in The Newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
And she's an activist now. She got how many times did she get arrested last year? Remember she would get arrested at the Capitol building?
She's been an activist since the 60s.
Well, that's awesome.
I found out a lot about her that I didn't know. I didn't know she had, I don't want to give anything away. I didn't know certain things about her family. It kind of takes a deeper, and this is on HBO, by the way, I watched it on HBO Max, and it kind of takes a deeper look at who she was. It's more about the woman than the movie actress and her family, her marriages, her kids, why she basically is the way she is.
That's more interesting anyway. Right?
I think so, too. And it was like how much of her life was about pleasing, controlling men, her lack of confidence, if you can believe that.
It's hard to believe. She strikes me as very confident now.
Me, too.
She would scare me. If I was in a room with Jane Fonda, I'd be afraid, I think.
I would, too. But she's not like that. Anyway, it gets to her workout videos. There's stuff about that totally surprised me.
Really?
It's still, I think, the best-selling video of all time.
No way.
I think so. You want to googs while I'm...
Yeah, I will.
Okay, so if you are a Jane Fonda fan or if you want to know more about her, I really do recommend this. There are chats with Robert Redford. I think all of her ex-husbands... including Ted Turner, who she visits during the documentary. That was really interesting. I thought it was a well-told story, very simple, chronological, just very interesting. I just very much enjoyed it and found it to be very captivating.
Most popular workout video of all time. She sold 17 million copies of it. That's
a lot. And what's interesting about it is all the proceeds went towards her activism, towards the organizations that she supported, and her husband, who I believe was a director at the time, it was kind of a hard pill to swallow for him because, you know, he's making these creative movies and here she is just going, I know what I could do, make a workout video. And then, boom, it just off the charts.
Wow. Very interesting. Did you ever do any of her workout videos?
No, I never did.
I was just looking at a little write-up about it, too. And someone said that they recently tested it. And the person wrote, it's still like the best exercise video that they've ever done. It's just a really quality exercise,
full body. You know, I think it's, you know, you're getting, I don't know if she's got weights in there or if it's all aerobics, but
I see her with no weights, just like a yoga mat kind of a situation. And you can look up the trailer on YouTube. You know what she I think was popular for, that butt lift thing. So imagine you're on all fours, okay?
Yep.
And then you take your knee out to the side and lifting, like, your whole leg up to the side, and it's working the outside of the butt.
Yep.
My mom got a Thighmaster at one point.
I had one, too.
Did you?
Well, because it really just mimics that machine at the gym.
Yes.
The hip abductor or the adductor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's my favorite. I can't wait to get back to the gym.
See, you really enjoy that machine?
I really do.
Here's what a meathead.
I know, you feel uncomfortable. Right?
It feels suggestive. It does. Feels like there should be like a male one of like, it would be like a male if there was like a pelvic thrust machine of like, and this is good for your hips and your hip flexor. And you're just like there by yourself, but with other people around, but just on this machine doing a motion.
See, and I think the wider the spread, the better.
Okay.
Because it just feels like it's getting that muscle, you know, on your, forget it.
I would like to get professionally stretched would be nice. That kind of, it's almost like a stretch. When, you know, that machine is kind of like that. Here's what a meathead I was in high school.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
There was a neck machine. So you would rest your head and then you're like putting your ear down to your shoulder and you could add weight to it. And I was like, I want to have a strong neck. I mean, what a protein shake swallowing dweeb I was.
I did that neck exercise too.
Really?
Yeah, just to tighten
my neck. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a pad on your left and on your right, and then you put the weights on it, and it's heavy for you to push your head down to the left. It's like, ow, 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 ow.
You know, I have an idea. The other side. I think when this whole thing is beyond us, and life is normal again, we get you, we get me, we get a camera, we go and work out together. We put it on our Facebook page.
I don't know.
Let's do it.
That feels very private.
No, no, no. You're not going to be doing the abductor machine. We'll just be doing some bench press, some curls, maybe some calf raises. We'll do some planks.
I prefer to do that without you.
So we'll definitely do it together. COVID being done.
Okay, that sounds great. All right. You convinced me.
Rob, do you want to come? Throw some iron around?
I'm sorry I was working on the next segment.
It's okay.
But I'll be ready for
it. That's how he didn't want to work out with us, so he's not going to go to the gym with us, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's producing, man. You got to produce. Scorsese coming to Apple TV. If you're a big fan, don't forget about that, right?
Yes, he's going to be, and his next project involves Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro. It's like, how many people does Martin Scorsese not know in Hollywood? Like, does he know? There are other actors, but he's found his people. He's kind of like Ryan Murphy, and he's like, all right, Sarah Paulson's going to be in everything. Scorsese just says, it's going to be Leo or De Niro. I'm getting one of them.
Woody Allen is the same way. He uses the same cast of characters a lot, too.
Yeah.
And I guess if you find a formula that works, why not stick with it?
Adam Sandler does the same thing. Steve Buscemi is in just about everything.
Jennifer Aniston.
Kevin James.
Yep. Okay. I hear you. By the way, I watched a couple of movies. I've watched a lot of TV. I got so much to tell you. Coming up at 11 o'clock, I watched a couple of... I watched that Palm Springs movie. Andy Samberg. I don't know what the hell that was. Also watched a movie with Kumail Nanjiani called The Lovebirds. There's a lot of good stuff out there if you find yourself stuck at home. So check it out, yeah? Right.
That's coming up at 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, are you going to blow a little steam after the break, Donna?
Well, I'm not, but someone else is. I'm going to tell you why this famous guitarist ripped an ear-bleeding solo at 7 a.m. in his neighborhood. You might be able to relate. If you see something, say something. Coming up next on My Talk 107.1. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Donna Valentine, Steve Patterson. Brother Rob filling in for Dawn McLean, who's got a few days off. Hello. And we have got this for you now.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
Yeah. Except largely different.
Completely different, but exactly the same.
Occasionally we get a little glimmer and it's like, see, we get you, you get us.
Yes, you're like us. Okay, so the guitarist for Toto, his name is Steve Lukather. Lukather?
Lukather?
Catheter.
He had some neighbors who were using leaf blowers at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so he decided to do a little guitar solo in his jammies. I posted this video for everybody at mytalk1071.com on the Donna and Steve Show links page. And here's what that sounded like. 7 a.m.
Oh, no.
He's in his backyard. His wife, I think, is probably...
mortified.
Recording him.
Oh.
Or a friend. Wait till the very end. It's great. He's mad. He's very good.
Yeah, he's good. He is good.
Here we go.
Wow. That's a whole nother level of upset.
Yeah. I mean, how early... I'm not going to lie. It's real dark here right now, by the way. It's probably about to storm. I didn't know it was going to. I almost went out and mowed my lawn, part of it anyway, this morning. And I'm like, is it too early? And then I came across this story and I was like, oh, maybe it is too early. It was like 8.
Here's what I just read is... it's a bad time to cut your grass. A really bad time is any time between 6 and 8 a.m. because your neighbors aren't going to appreciate it. Like the guy from Toto didn't appreciate it. But also, it's really bad for your grass because there's still dew on your grass, which means that your lawnmower is going to rip it more as opposed to doing a clean slice that'll bruise your grass and it'll be a longer healing time for your grass.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, listen,
I like that you're taking it from that angle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering how early is too early.
From a noise perspective.
From a neighbor perspective. Like, that doesn't bother me. I feel like that kind of noise is kind of soothing.
Yeah. The guitar solo, not as much. But yeah, I agree. Like, a lawnmower, it's not the worst. I think 8 a.m. feels good. I will say, though, in our neighborhood where we are, my guess is under normal circumstances, 8 a.m., some people might even push for 9 a.m. But right now, if there's any work that's being done in the neighborhood, usually it would start at like 7 a.m. And I don't think anyone really cares because they just want it all to get done. So if landscapers come, they just want it's like, listen, start early so that we don't have to look at that mess of dirt and weeds anymore. You're finishing the roof on that one. Great. Hammer away. Let's just get it done. But we're in a unique situation in like a new construction neighborhood, whereas a normal day. What about 9 a.m. on the weekends? I think 9 a.m. is a good cutoff.
I think 9 is fair. Even 8:45. I think you have to take into consideration the fact that there might be people who work the graveyard shift. You know, and but I guess that's in the afternoon. You'd be sleeping.
What can you do? We cannot operate.
Yeah, we can't accommodate everybody
around crazy people like Brother Rob, who's just getting in at 4 a.m. It's we can't. We just have to. He's the minority there, and we have to keep moving. But I think 9 a.m. on the weekend is a good cutoff. Like we won't have our kids even go outside before 9 a.m. on the weekend because you just don't want them hollering and stuff. That's like just stay in for a little while. You'll have all day to go out.
It is very funny how people live different lifestyles. Like, once I'm in the house at like 4, 5, mm-hmm. I don't want to go out again. And that's when I hear like all the neighbors out and about and the kids playing because they're normal people.
Right.
You know, and they'll be like, we never see you. Do you hate us? And I'm like, I've been here the whole time. I go in at 4. You come out at 4. It's just not my thing, you know?
The evening hang is the best hang, though, because then it's like it's a little bit cooler, you know? You've accomplished things during the day. You're missing out on a good social time.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Donna, you need the fresh air. When do you get outside?
I go
what about
outside
like when you get home, do you go outside and take a walk or something?
Yes. Yeah, 2-ish, 3-ish, 2:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go to, you know, the dog park.
Let me ask you this.
Or just walk around the lake.
Let's say it's a Saturday, okay?
Okay.
Saturday. Your favorite time to take a walk, a 30-minute walk, is first thing in the morning or last thing you do at night? Meaning,
first
like
thing
still
in the morning.
Yes, right?
First thing, always the first thing. Yes, get it out of the way. Enjoy it. It's quiet.
It's so peaceful.
Oh, the birds are singing.
It's just really, it's like you sense a neighborhood waking up. I just find it to be so nice.
Me too. I like the quiet. I don't want the hustle and bustle. I don't want to run into Merv. You know, I just...
Merv.
I just... Mervy.
Merv. Clarence. Yeah, it's there's no expectation of talking in the morning. You know, like if you pass someone on a walk in the evening, you stop, you chat, how was your day, blah, blah, blah. In the morning, though, it's great. And if you wear AirPods, like I've taken a little just low music with me on the walk. I love anything with music. Anything set to music makes your life feel like a movie, and I love it.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I even did that on a walk with my little daughter and Dev, where I just had like movie soundtracks, peaceful movie soundtracks playing very low in my ear so that she and I could still talk, but it was almost like our conversation was set to music.
Oh, that's cute, Steve.
And everything's going great. Everything's going great. She's cold. She's in her like PJs, just walking around. She has her hands inside of her PJs. What does she do, Donna? After everything has been set, you've got this perfect walk. She trips on the sidewalk. No, she trips on the sidewalk. Her arms are inside of her jammies. She has nothing to stop her. She scrapes her knee, her wrist, and like hits her face on the sidewalk. And then a very peaceful moment turns into a suddenly chaotic moment.
Just like it would in the movies.
Just like it would in the movies.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, it's adorable. Hey, upon our triumphant return, I got to tell you, my boyfriend is expecting a baby.
Okay. Is it yours? Tell you about...
Don't worry about it. Right. I got that on the way. And also, there is a list of 10 bands that are worse than Nickelback.
What?
I want to see if you agree or disagree coming up next on My Talk.